See, Rabosai, this I gave out. I don't know if you got it or you didn't get it. Okay.
Just from last week?
No, yesterday.
Just yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday.
I think I gave it out actually last week, but just in terms of the calendar, if it's relevant to anybody.
I think I have.
Okay.
Yeah, I already have it.
Great. So we'll leave it here. So Rabosai, we're here on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. And yesterday we had a long discussion about why the Gemara thought that you should maybe drop the Shasa Nisim after the first night of Chanukah. And then we got up to the Gemara that presents a machlokas as to Heichan Tzivanu, the answer to the question, where do we find in the Torah a source for the authority, the rabbinic authority, to establish a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah in this case. And Rav Avia mentioned Lo Sosur, Rav Nechemya mentioned Shal Avicha V'Yagedcha, and then we went on to study the case of Demai. What's unique about the case of Demai is that although we have a universal rule that we make a mitzvah, a bracha, we recite a bracha on a mitzvah derabbanon, but the exception to that rule is going to be Demai. And the Gemara wants to know why Demai is an exception to the rule. And the Gemara says that Demai is called a safek didivrehem, which means the following, that in every other case of a mitzvah derabbanon, the mitzvah is vadai. It means you're definitely chayav. You're definitely chayav in Chanukah when the time comes. You're definitely chayav in Purim. But with regard to Demai, the Gemara says that it's a little bit different. The Rabbanan didn't say that you have to be mafrish Demai, be mafrish maser from Demai. What they said was that since the possibility and whatever the likelihood is that the mocher, the seller, in this case the Amoritz, did not separate maser, therefore you have to go ahead and separate maser. But if, let's say, you would know, if let's say you could clarify that the mocher in fact did take off maser, then you would not be chayav in afoshes maser. So the whole enterprise of demai is with a built-in suffix. The Gemara now is going to ask the following question. This is where we want to pick it up. V'hayantif sheni. So let's see where we could find Vayantiv Shein. If you're counting up from the bottom of Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, we're counting up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom. And the Gemara says, Vayantiv Sheini, Desafik Didivreim Ubay Bracha. So let's say, for example, if we want to talk about the Leil HaSeder in Chutz Laretz on the second night, we're going to recite a bracha on matzah. We're going to recite a bracha on maror. And there are many other brachos that we're going to recite on the Leil HaSeder. And the Gemara wants to know, why is that so? The whole enterprise of Yom Tov Sheni is predicated on suffolk. Mm-hmm. We don't know if that's Yom Tov, if it's not Yom Tov. And if that be the case, since you've established in the case of Demai that on a suffolk de Devrayim we don't recite a bracha, so we don't know whether the mocher was in fact mafresh maser or not. Don't make a bracha when you're mafresh maser. The whole enterprise is a suffolk. That's the essence of the mitzvah. The Rabbanan didn't say you're chayav to be mafresh maser. They said, because of the suffolk, make sure that you cover all your bases and be mafresh maser. Why not apply the same reasoning to the case of Yom Tov Sheni? We're covering our bases. You know, we're going to eat matzah and mara on the second night because maybe that's Yom Tov. And we should not be making brachas in that case because this is a suffik de divrayim. So the Gemara's question is as follows: for Yontif Sheni, the suffik de divrayim who ubay bracha, even though it's a suffik, nevertheless we make a bracha. Gemara answers: Hasam, there it's different. Ki hechi delo lizelzule be. The Rabbana were afraid that people might not take Yontif Sheni too seriously. That's especially true today when we're not Mekadesh Al Pi Re'iyah, but rather we have the calendar. So people are tempted to think, and I can tell you from from many, many years of experience teaching chutzlikim in various yeshivas, that the parents of these chutzlikim, when they come to visit here, they're very laid back about Yom Tov Sheni. And they come up with this rabbi and that rabbi. Yeah, we have a dira here, we have a this here. They come up with all the excuses in the world to do away with Yom Tov Sheni. In fact, the conservatives in America are trying to do away with Yom Tov Sheni entirely, even in America. So there is this element of zilzul that people don't take Yom Tov Sheni seriously. And the Rabbanan went out of their way to find a kind of, to add teeth and significance to the observance of Yom Tov Sheni. And what they fell on, what they found was that the bracha, if they institute a bracha, that conveys the message about the seriousness of this mitzvah, that we're eating matzah on the second night of Pesach with a bracha, we're eating maror with a bracha, etc., etc. That gives them a serious attitude. They take it with a great deal of seriousness, and that's why the Rabbanan instituted a bracha on the mitzvah of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golis. Now, I just want to point out to you that the Rambam has a new twist on this Gemara. The simple, straightforward understanding of the Gemara is that this was a special takana that the Rabbanan made, delo osi lezelzulebe, and this was a means, you know, the bracha was used as a tool in the hands of the Rabbanan to make sure that people would take Yom Tov Sheni very seriously. However, the Rambam takes it a little differently. The Rambam says that, you know what it means, Kadesha Lola Zalzuli Bey? What the Rabbanan did was, they upgraded the status of Yom Tov Sheni to a Vadai. In other words, in its original inception, based on the fact that we don't know exactly when Bezna was Koveros Chodesh, then we generate a Suffolk, and the entire enterprise of adding an extra day of Yom Tov is all a result of that Suffolk. And in that formulation, then there would be no bracha. Now they upgraded it. What does it mean they upgraded it? So you and I might say they added a bracha. The Rambam says no. What they did was they changed the entire nature of the mitzvah. Instead of the mitzvah being a safek, it becomes a vadai. And the Rambam draws many, many repercussions from this. For example, I'll just mention this in passing because it would take us probably a full hour to explain this, but the Gemara says, Beitzah shenolda bezeh, muteres bezeh, that normally if you have Yom Tov Sheni, then if a chicken lays an egg, it's not muktzah because mimonafshah. If today is Yom Tov, then chol was making for Yom Tov, meaning yesterday was chol. And if today is chol, then there is no Eastern muktzah. So we can, no matter how you slice the cake, we should be able to eat, you know, no matter how you cook the egg, we should be able to eat the egg. And yet, we don't say that. We don't apply the principle of Beitzah Shenolda Bezeh Muteres Bezeh. Why? Because now Yom Tov Sheni becomes a Vadai. We're not going to celebrate it as a Safek, because maybe it's Yom Tov, maybe it's not. If we could do that, then we could obviate certain, all sorts of different dinim. It has a lot of nafkaminas as far as Erevin is concerned. But no, we're not going to be able to do that. We're going to have to treat both days of Yom Tov as Vadai. I'm just going to make a bracha.
How do you spell vadai in Hebrew?
Oh, vadai. Vav, dalet, aleph, yud.
I mean, it's illogical. They can't both be vadai.
They can be. I'll tell you why. Because it all depends on the chiyuv. If the Rabbanan establish a chiyuv, that's a chiyuv vadai. And they could have done so in Tmai too. Why didn't they do that in Tmai? Why didn't they establish as a Vadai? So this is Sugi in Chulin. The Gemara says in Chulin that the reason why they didn't make it into a Vadai in the case of Tmai is because Rov Amei Oretz Ma'asrim Him. That it's really not a Chashash, meaning according to the laws that govern, you know, we never could be 100% certain about anything, but the Torah sets up laws and rules and regulations that determine how we clarify the reality of situation. We rely on two witnesses. To some extent, we'll rely on one witness. We'll rely on circumstantial evidence and chazakas and migus and whatever. One of those rules in how we rely on evidence is called rov, because the Torah says achi rabim lahatos. And the Gemara says it's not that the Amei Aretz, the ignorant, were not being mafresh. Rov Amei Aretz were mafresh maser, but there was a significant minority that the Rabbanan were worried about. So technically, according to the strict halacha, you don't even have to be mafresh maaser for demai. What the Rabbanan did was they imposed the chiyuv hafreshes maaser, but they never said that this chiyuv is a chiyuv vadai. They should have, and that's what they do in general. For example, if you learn Hilchas Nida, you'll learn something about ksamen. Ksamen means when a woman sees a stain. Now, technically, according to the Torah law, a stain is not metame, because you need what's called hargosh, and she has to feel the dam coming out of her body. But the Rabbanon instituted something called ksamen, and now from now on she's tome, she's tmeya, b'toras vadai. She has a din of a definite tumor. So in general, the rule of thumb is that when Rabbanon institute a halacha, that halacha is a vadai. The exception to that rule is going to be tmai. The other exception to the rule would have been Yontif Sheni Shel Golios, if not for the fact that Kihechi Delol Zilzule Bey, in order to upgrade the status of Yontif Sheni, so people shouldn't be laid back about it, they gave it a din vadai. And that has tremendous repercussions in halacha, that Yontif Sheni is a vadai. One of them is bracha.
That's what. So what is vadai actually? It's not truth.
Vadai means we treat it as a certain chiyuv. In other words, even though the background is the doubt, but once the rabbanon stepped into the equation, they changed our halacha and they created a chiyuv, and we make a bracha on a chiyuv like that. That's the whole thrust of our Gemara, whether it's Rav Avia or whether it's Rav Nechemia, the various different drushes here, but the Rabbanon are authorized to create new chiyuvim. And as a general rule, when the Rabbanon are worried about something that's suspicious, they create a chiyuv, an isur, a mitzvah, and that chiyuv or mitzvah becomes vadai. The exception to the rule is going to be dmai. And what difference does it make whether you call it vadai or you call it safek? Are they basing themselves on the doubt, or is it a definite chiyuv? The difference is going to be a bracha. Because we don't make a bracha on a safek, but we do make a bracha on a vadai. What would be a paradigm example from our sugya of a bracha that is made on something that in essence is a safek, but the Rabbanan gave it the upgrade status of a vadai? That's going to be Yontif Sheni Shel Golis. Rav Amar, Rav has a different explanation. Why is it that my doesn't deserve a bracha? So up until now, we were operating within the framework of Abaye. Abaye says that Dmai is only a Sufik Divrei. Rava says that since Rov Ameya Oretz Masrim Heim, that most sellers, even though they're basically ignorant, they're not experts in Halacha, nevertheless they will be Makpid, they will be careful about Afrosha. And therefore, the Rabbanan only said that we're going to rely on the Rov. The Torah relies on the Rov. We're not more frum than the Torah. We're also going to rely on Rov. But you know what? It should be a Chumrah. L'Chumrah, we're going to ask you to please don't eat the Dmai until you be Mafresh. So whereas Abai understood that it's a Chiyuv Hafrosha and all the Dinim of Hafrosha will apply, and the Rabbanu will require you, if you don't take off Maaser, if you don't separate a tenth, then according to Abai, you have been negligent, you have violated the Rabbanu. And Rava says no, the Gedah, the definition of Dmai is only a Chumrah. It's not a real mitzvah, it's not a real Chiyuv, it's only a Chumrah. And the difference is going to be, says Rav, whether you make a bracha on it. So in the case of Yontif Sheni, that's not just a chumrah. Yontif Sheni is a serious business. We have to observe Yontif Sheni. In the case of Dmai, the Chiyuv HaFrosh is only a chumrah, and therefore it doesn't justify a bracha. So we'll say now we want to go backwards to the sugya of Mai Mevarech. What is the bracha? And if you recall, the Gemara earlier here on Daf Chav Gimel established that we recite three brachos on the first night of Chanukah. That's for the Madlik. Let's go over the three brachos. One is Lahadlik, the second is Shasa Nisim, and the third is Shechiyon. So what I'd like to spend a little time on with you is the bracha of Shechiyon. Now I gave out this photocopy, if anybody wants to, and if you have it, then please turn to page Nun Aleph. It should say on the top left Nun Aleph. If anyone needs a copy, you have an extra copy here. And this is a study of the nature of the bracha of Shechiyonu with regard to Ner Chanukah.
Okay.
So you'll find on your on the right side, you'll find a section that starts with the letter Gimel called Birchas Shechiyon. So let me give a little bit of a of an introduction to this presentation here about Shechiyon, this analysis of Shechiyon. With regard to every Yontif, there's a mitzvah of Shechiyon. There's a mitzvah to recite a bracha of Shechiyon. So for example, on the night of Sukkot or Pesach or Shavuos, we're going to recite Shechiyonu. Even with regard to Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we're going to recite Shechiyonu. And what that means is we're thanking Hashem for having brought us to this day, Lazman Hazeh, because that's called Kedushas Hazman. The Zman itself is sanctified. This is a very profound Judaic philosophy here. It doesn't exist in other nations. We have a concept, a very central concept called Kedushas Hazman. 1/6 of Shas is dedicated to this concept called Zmanim. And the Zman is almost like an entity unto itself, and it's in, engendered with a sanctity. The time itself is sacred. And when we encounter that sacred Zman, when we experience that Zman, we have to recite a Shechiyonu, thanking Hashem for giving us the opportunity of experiencing that Zman. The real question we're going to ask is, what about Chanukah and for that matter Purim as well? Do these days, like any other Yontif, require a Shechiyonu? Or, alternatively, for some reason, which we'll talk about, these days are not on the same level as the Doraisas that we spoke about, all the other holidays, and these days of Chanukah and Purim do not require Shechiyonu. The Gemara just established in the name of Rabbi Yehuda that we recite three brachas on Adlokas Ner Chanukah. That's not because of the endowment of the day, but rather because of the mitzvah that comes mizman muzman. It's an occasional mitzvah. We have an occasional mitzvah. We have to wait a whole season or perhaps a whole year until that mitzvah comes around, and we're so excited about this opportunity, this first opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah, that we recite Shechiyon. So if you take a look at the first paragraph, he says, Yesh levarer, let's clarify, b'yisod birchas Shechiyon, what underlies the obligation of reciting Shechiyon on Chanukah? Is the bracha on the mitzvah of hadlokas ner Chanukah? That's possibility number one. Or number two, the bracha is on, he calls it Etzem Hazman Shel Chanukah. In other words, just like we have a bracha of Shechiyon on other Zmanim, we mentioned them earlier, so too the Zman of Chanukah doesn't fall short of any Zman, and therefore the Shechiyon is on the Zman. And we're going to try to analyze this question first and foremost from the perspective of the Me'iri. The Me'iri, which you'll see in the second paragraph, says that what happens if a person doesn't have the option of lighting Ner Chanukah? Not only that, he doesn't even have the opportunity to see anyone's Ner Chanukah. He's literally, you know, on the North Pole. And he has no oil, and probably the wind would blow it out anyway on the North Pole. But in any event, we're talking about someone who's not a Madlik nor a Roeh. So you cannot, in this case, justify Shechiyonu by the mitzvah because he has no mitzvah. Nevertheless, says the Me'iri, Misha eino roev eino madlik ner Chanukah mevarech li atzmo bircha Shechiyonu. It means that according to the Me'iri, Shechiyonu is generated by what? By etzem hazman. And this zman of Chanukah is not inferior to any zman that we know of, whether it's the three regalim, whether it's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and it requires Shechiyonu. Mevur bidvarav. We can see from the Me'iri the following conclusion. The Birchas Shechiyonu is al etzem hazman. It's not a bracha on the mitzvah adlaka. Now, Rabbi say, how would we apply the Me'iri to the case of Purim?
The same thing.
If what? He doesn't have a Megillah. A Megillah. What happens to a person, this in Savad, remember we had this question all the time, he doesn't have a Megillah. Does he recite Shechiyonu? Now you'll say to me, what do you mean Shechiyonu? There's no Megillah. He's not reading the Megillah. What's Shechiyonu? The answer is this Me'iri. That the Me'iri is saying that the bracha is on the Etzem HaZman. And if I assume that there's an equation here between Chanukah and Purim, then just like the Me'iri establishes in the case of Chanukah, you will be Mevarech Shechiyonu on the Zman, even without Hadlokas Nero. So too in the case of Megillah, we could derive a far-reaching conclusion that a person who's stuck without a Megillah would nevertheless be required to recite Shekhyonu on the Etzem HaZman.
But the rabbis didn't give any Kedusha to the days of Chavitah.
So it means the following, that according to the Miri's breakthrough, Shekhyonu v'kimonu v'yonu l'zman, as in the word zman means zman, a zman that has a special status in halacha, even if it doesn't have Kedusha sazman. So we now have three categories of zman. There's one zman that's totally chol. On the other polar extreme, we have a zman that's totally kodesh. And right in the middle, we have a zman that is not chol and it's not kodesh. It's somewhere in the middle. It has a unique status. It's a day in which we commemorate various miracles that happened to the Jewish people. It's not invested with kedushas hazman. And if I want to, what's my barometer? If I want to
work.
Yeah, Isser Malacha, that has no Isser Malacha. Rashi went out of his way in the Brisa back on Daf Chaf Aleph on Beis when it says, Kavum v'asim yomim tovim, Rashi says, Lola inyan Isser Malacha. They didn't give Kedushas Hazman to Chanukah and that would have generated an Isser Malacha. There is no Isser Malacha on Chanukah because it's not vested with Kedushas Hazman, but nevertheless, it is called a Yontif. And what makes it into a yontif? The fact that on this day I commemorate the great miracle. The best way of commemorating the if all things are ideal is to light the Ner Chanukah. If I don't have a Ner Chanukah, then my commemoration of the miracle will express itself in tefillah, whether it be Al Anisim, whether it be in Halil, and also in the brach of Shekhyonu. Radical chiddush of the
Mir. It doesn't make sense because if you're going to say that. Because we make Shekhyonu just on the first day. So according to the Meiri, is he going to make Shekhyonu on each of the 8 days of Chanukah?
Well, you don't make Shekhyonu on Yatav either.
In other words, when...
On Sukkot, you don't make...
Just like there's a Zman that extends from day one to day seven in the cases of Mo'adim or Regolim Doraisa, so too, there's one Zman that extends from the first day of Chanukah to the last day of Chanukah. But Michael, your question would be very relevant. What happens if, for whatever reason, he didn't recite Shekhyonu on the first day of Chanukah? According to the Meiri, he'll recite the Shekhyonu even as late as the eighth day of Chanukah. Meaning if he wakes up on the eighth day, Chas Shalom, he was in a coma for 7 days, he wakes up on the eighth day, he was hibernating, right? And then he'll make the Shekhyonu on the eighth day.
You said that his reasoning is because Chanukah is a day of miracles, and that's why he makes Shekhyonu. Every day of Chanukah was a day of miracles, so why doesn't he make
right? But
on that reasoning,
right? But on Hilchas Zman, there's one entity called Chanukah that's made up of 8 days. That's how the Brisa introduces it. It's one Zman that extends for 8 days. So, for example, in Sukkot, if I didn't make Shekhyonu on the first night of Sukkot, I can make Shekhyonu on any night of Sukkot or any day of Sukkot until the last day.
Okay.
For sure. And you're obligated to do so. But you'll only make it once. Because that Shekhyonu encompasses the entire entity called that Zman.
So someone who's in the desert, let's say, has no lights, he knows it's Chanukah, so, and he can't see the light, someone lighting, and he can't light himself. So he says Shekhyonu.
According to the mirror,
here.
Right. He'll make a Shekhyonu.
Okay.
And if on the second night of Hanukkah he's able to light, then he would have made it on the Shekhyonu on the first night,
right.
And he doesn't make it on the second
night. Right.
Question. Now Larry's asking an excellent question. What happens if he didn't have the possibility, this is what he's going to discuss in this article, of lighting Ner Chanukah on the first night? He went ahead, according to the mirror, and he recited Shekhyonu. Now on the second night, he's lighting Chanukah. He gets his Neros, or whatever it is. He comes out of the desert. So he's going to have a whole discussion about this, but the bottom line of that discussion, as we'll soon see, I'm giving you previews of coming attractions, is that he makes a second Shekhyonu. The first Shekhyonu is on the Zman, and the second Shekhyonu is on the Mitzvah. What's the paradigm of that? Sukkot. Right, because in the night of Sukkot, he recites Shekhyonu on the Zman. In the day of Sukkot, Lamachras, when he has the mitzvah of Lulav, he makes another Shekhyonu. And each Shekhyonu is separate. Now, he could have combined everything into one Shekhyonu had he had the opportunity of lighting their Chanukah. So let's say, for example, if a person, for whatever reason, according to the Miri, he did not recite Shekhyonu on the first night, and he did not recite Lahadlik because he didn't have Ner Chanukah. On the second night, he's going to recite only one Shekhyonu. Because one Shekhyonu now will cover both the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah and the Zman. But as Larry points out very well, you could separate between the two. You could have a situation where he didn't have the Chanukah on the first night, and according to the Miri, he's responsible to recite Shekhyonu on the Zman. Then on the second night, because of the emergence of the new mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, he's going to make a second Shekhyonu. So it's really fascinating. You know, if you wake up someone in the middle of the night, you know, he's a yeshiva boch, and you ask him, give me a case where you recite Shekhyonu twice on Chanukah. So of course he's half asleep, but if he wakes up and he's sharp and he remembers the Meiri, he's going to tell you, well, what happens if he made Shekhyonu on the first night without Ner Chanukah, and then he gets Ner Chanukah on the second night? He's going to make a second Shekhyonu. Which again, in the case of Sukkot, is no big deal. I mean, this is what we're familiar with. But in the case of Chanukah, this is like... No, it's not only is the Meiri inventing, so to speak, or breaking new ground on Shekhyonu as part of the essence of the Zman of Chanukah, but he's even offering us a possibility in a certain scenario that you might even be making two Shekhyonos on Chanukah. That we never found before.
No, I thought we had it where if... The question came up whether you're saying it on the Roe or you're
okay.
Saying it on the
excellent. Don, I can't pull anything over your eyes, I see here, you know.
It's the course I'm taking.
It's the course, yeah. Together with our cousins over there.
You had to go bring that.
You know, in two years from now, Don, you're going to be a genius of geniuses, because now you're already a genius. But after 2 years of all the knowledge that they're going to be pumping into your brain, you'll be a genius of geniuses. So Don is pointing out something which is really dependent upon the previous os, which is os beis, back on page nun, and that has to do with the roe. Okay, so I don't know if maybe we should pick that up as a separate discussion, but just keep, you know, write a note to yourself that it could very well be possible that the re'iyah might be a mitzvah unto itself. So that's what Don points out. It's feasible that there might be two Shekhyonos, one on Re'iyah and another Shekhyono on Hadlok.
The same night.
And it might even be on the same night. So for that, we'd have to go back to this section called Section Beis. And it's even more explicit in Section Dalet, which is on page Nun Gimel, Geder Birchas HaRoeh. Okay then?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. We may even touch on it today as well. Now in the second paragraph here, which actually the third paragraph, he quotes the Mishnah Berurah. And the Mishnah Berurah is very excited about this Meiri. You know, very often, I'll just tell you in passing, I always, when I speak at the OU Center, I make these historical comments. So I pointed out, and I'm going to point it out again this Wednesday when I talk about if you're allowed to visit the Vatican, that the Meiri is quoted usually when he disagrees with all the Rishonim. They quote him just for academic purposes, but not for what we call normative halacha. Meaning when the Meiri says something radical, it remains academic. You know, we'll discuss the Meiri in class, and we'll sweat it out and try to analyze the Meiri. But in halacha l'maisa, generally speaking, the rule is the Meiri is not up there with the biggies. But here's the exception to the rule.
Is that because it was only discovered much later?
Well, yes and no. I mean, there are two Meiris, believe it or not. I don't mean physically. There's only one Meiri. But the text of the Meiri, really, there are major differences between the classical Meiri that dates back and the new Meiri, which is after what's called the Gniza. You know, Shechter's Gniza in Cairo. And my Rebbe, for one, he didn't rely on anything that came from the Gniza. That was his Shita. And there are a lot of discrepancies between the Meiri and the Gniza and the Meiri that we have. A lot of it has to do with Christianity. Anyway, that's not for now. But what I find absolutely remarkable here is that the Mishnah Berurah is totally committed to the Meiri here. And again, it doesn't appear in any other Rishon. And the Mishnah Berurah says that l'chatchila, you have to make the Shekhyonu at the time of Hadlaka. But if, you see the second line where he says, im lo birech b'yom Rishon, yivarech b'yom Sheni, he'll recite a Shekhyonu on the second day. Okay, that doesn't impress me. Of course, yeah, if he didn't make a Shekhyonu on the first day, he'll make a Shekhyonu on the second day. Again, we're going to come back to that point in just a minute. But let's say he didn't make a bracha during the first 7 days. Let him make a bracha of Shekhyonu on Hadlaka on Leil Shmini. Oh, now what happens if he omitted the bracha of Shekhyonu even on Leil Shmini? Yevarech al etzem hayom. He's going to, nevertheless, he's going to recite Shekhayonu. Aye, the mitzvah of Chanukah is gone. He's already lit 8 days of Chanukah. The answer is etzem hayom. So who is he relying on? That's what he says in the last few words. Yeah. The Me'iri, Nimtza B'Me'iri. Now, it even goes further than that, because the Mishnah Berurah, the next paragraph, says that on Purim, he quotes one opinion, and he says, you should make a Shekhayonu on the day of Purim, which means that if he doesn't have a Megillah, he's going to nevertheless recite Shekhayonu. And if you take a look in the Biur Halacha, which is really the final word of the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah itself gives you a synopsis. But if you really want to see the real kishkis of what the Mishnah Berurah held in Halacha, you look in the Biur Halacha, and there he says in the name of Rav Yaakov Emdin, otherwise known as the Yavitz, that if you don't have a Megillah, then you still recite Shekhayonu. Now the Biur Halacha goes on to say that, with all the respect to Rav Yaakov Emdin, who lived 5 centuries ago, this goes back way, way back in time to the time of the Me'iri. Let's say the Me'iri lived in the 12th century, right? So the Me'iri says that we recite Shekhayonu on Chanukah, says the Biur Halacha. If the Me'iri says that we recite Shekhayonu on Chanukah, even if he doesn't have Hadlokas Neros, because of the Etzav Azman, then Hu Adin, we should apply the same logic to Purim. Now notice, Rav Osai, that the Me'iri didn't say a word about Purim. It's only the Mishnah Berurah who extrapolated by analogy from Chanukah to Purim. And again, if we have time at the end of our, you know, maybe we'll learn Chanukah for another week or so, but when we get to the end of our learning, then we want to have a whole shiur on comparing Chanukah to Purim. And the premise here that underlies the Mishnah Berurah in the Biur Halacha is that there's an absolute equation between Purim and Chanukah, which means that the Me'iri, although he only mentions Chanukah, he's broken new ground, and he's saying that the concept of Zman, as far as Shachiyonu v'kimonu v'yonu l'zmanu, it doesn't mean Kedushas Zman, it means any Zman that's invested with the status of a Yontif. Even if it doesn't have an Isur V'Lochan, it doesn't have Kedusha, it's a secular day, it's a very basically a work day, if you want to call it that. But it's Chanukah, or it's Purim. And insofar as these days are unique and they commemorate miracles, we're going to have to say Shekhayonu. And in the mind of the Chofetz Chaim, there's no difference between Chanukah and Purim. If the Me'iri made this statement with regard to Chanukah, then Hu Adin, it should apply logically to Purim. Now all this is true until we open up the Me'iri himself in Masechta Megillah. So until now we've been opening up the Me'iri in Masechta Shabbos and the Sugya of Chanukah. But now the plot grows thicker, because we open up the Me'iri in Masechta Megillah. And the Me'iri in Masechta Megillah has a whole different presentation. And he first presents an opinion that if you don't have a Megillah, you should recite Shekhayonu on the day itself of Purim. And then, and this is a quote on the fourth line, if you want to take a look at the fourth line of the paragraph of Yesh Lahakshos, and you want to underline this, well, highlight it. He says, and then this is a verbatim quote of the Me'iri. I don't know which Me'iri is it, before the Gnez or after the Gnez, I don't know. But anyway, he says, Mikol makom, ein divrayim nirim. I am in the paragraph that starts the Yesh Lahakshos on the fourth line. And whenever he quotes something verbatim, he adds one strickle instead of two strickle. He has one strickle. I don't know whether half a quotation mark is called in English. We'll just call it a half a quotation mark. Do you have it?
I don't have quotation marks, but anyway, I have the line.
Well, I tell you, there is one, but probably, Don, you can't see it because it's microscopic.
I have brackets, maybe.
Right after the brackets, there's a little strickle there. You see it?
Yeah.
You have to have really good eyesight for that. Okay. In any event, he says the following. This is the Me'iri. Mikol makom, ein divrayim nirim. I don't agree with them. So they went ahead, as the Me'iri quotes them, and said, you make a bracha on etzem hayom on Purim. I don't agree with them. Why? Now, underline the next few words. This is amazing. Shekol she'ein shom kos l'kiddush, ein bo zman. Now, if you could do me a favor, cover the text and don't look at the next line. If you already did, then don't answer my question, because the cat is out of the bag of it. But if you haven't looked at the next line, I'm going to test you. The Meiri says the following: the only day on which I make a Shekhiyonu on the day itself is a day that has a Kos Shel Kiddush. What does he mean by Kos Shel Kiddush? Why is he putting all his eggs into this basket of Kos Shel Kiddush? What does Kos Shel Kiddush indicate? That the day is endowed with Kiddushas Hayom, and that's what Kiddush is all about. Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim. What question should you ask? If you haven't seen it, if you saw it already, then you're a apostle. You're already disqualified.
Yeah, you don't have that on Hanukkah, so why are you saying?
No. So he's going to claim that he's talking about Purim right now. We'll get to Hanukkah in a minute. That since there's no Kiddush on Purim,
right,
in Bnei Akiva they make Kiddush on Purim.
Right.
And not with Shema Malchus. I mean, it's just a shtick.
Yeah.
But there's no.
Masechus Purim, there's a whole Masechta.
The whole Masechta with the Kiddush and everything else. But there's no Kiddush on Purim, that's for sure. So says the Meiri, if there's no Kiddush on Purim, there's no Shekhiyonu on Purim. Again, you'll make a Shekhiyonu Mikra Megillah if you have a Megillah, but if you don't have that mitzvah of Megillah, there's no Shekhiyonu. So why does he indicate that Kiddush is the barometer? Why is that the litmus test for Shekhiyonu? Correct, because whenever you recite Kiddush, it reflects the Kiddushas Hayom. Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim, that God sanctified this man. But according to the Meiri, there should be one problem that we have to address. There's one day in the year where we do recite Shekhiyonu and there's no Kol Shel Kiddush.
Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur. He says, V'al tishiveni mi Yom Kippur. I know that you're asking me from Yom Kippur and we recite Shekhiyonu on Yom Kippur. The answer is Kedushaso Yisera. Adarabba.
Shabbaton.
Correct. It's even a higher level of Kedusha. V'lo nifka koso. So why don't we make Kiddush on Yom Kippur? El mitzad iser shtia. Because they only instituted Kiddush when you could drink the wine. And we can't drink the wine on Yom Kippur. So fundamentally, essentially, what the Meir is saying is that there is Kiddush on Yom Kippur. If only, and this, by the way, is a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch about a chola.
You have to, that's right. If you have to eat, you have to make Kiddush.
So that's going to be a gigantic machlokas, but there's a Rishon called Rabbeinu Bruno, and he says, no, you have to make Kiddush. The Magen Avraham quotes him in Shulchan Aruch, you have to make Kiddush if you're a chola. But in any event, one thing is crystal clear. According to the Meiri, there is Kiddush on Yom Kippur. The reason why we don't make Kiddush is because of shtir. Oh. Then he says, Vahare ein ze dome el Chanukah. Now at this point, the Meiri establishes an analogy between Purim and Chanukah. Again, he's learning Masechta Megillah. His commentary is in Masechta Megillah. So he's talking about Chanukah. He's talking about Purim. Now he says, let's talk about Chanukah. And if you need an equation between Purim and some other day, and you want to know whether you should recite Shekhiyonu, then Klach Lecha Itzel Chanukah. Chanukah should be a perfect equation. Sheyesh Zman Al Hadlaka, please underline these words. V'lo Al Hayom. And there's no Zman on the day itself. And this bothered the mind of Reb Shmuel Vozna, who passed away, I think, about a half a year ago, less even, Shevet HaLevi. He says, wait a minute, the Meiri in Masechta Shabbos says explicitly that if you don't light Ner Chanukah, you make a Shekhiyonu on the day itself. So Chanukah requires a Shekhiyonu. And in Purim, when he wants to tell you to don't make a Shekhiyonu, he equates it with Chanukah to tell you that just like on Chanukah you don't make a Shekhiyonu, so too on Purim you don't make a Shekhiyonu. This is what you call a head-on collision between two Meiris. And in the very next paragraph, which is called the Yesha Tirates, the Shevet HaLevi offers a reconciliation of these two Meiris. Are you ready for this, Rabosai? You have to tell me if this interests you. I'm absolutely fascinated by this. If you're with me and you're as excited as I am, I'm going to ask you to play the role of a jury here. And you decide whether you're impressed by the Shevet HaLevi. So I want you to, you know, put on your critical thinking caps and see if you can understand how the Shevet HaLevi is going to reconcile two Meiris that each one says the exact opposite.
Who's doing the reconciliation? Sorry.
His name was Reb Shmuel Vozna. He died about a half a year ago. He's called the Shevet HaLevi. Okay, he's being quoted here in the paragraph of Yesha Tirets. Okay. So first of all, in his opening premise, because again, this whole presentation is built on many different assumptions, many different premises. His opening premise is that the Meiri in Megillah is telling us something fundamental, and this principle we have to accept, and that is that Shechionu is only appropriate for Kedushas Hazman. In the Miri's language, in Yesh Lo Kos, Kos Kiddush. So you'll see that inside, he says, Omnom Ein Bircha Shechionu Al Etzem Hayom Shel Chanukah U'Purim. That's his first premise. Only on the Gimel Regolim, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we recite a Shechionu on the top left, if you're looking, Al Etzem Kiddushas Hazman. Please underline five times over the word Kiddushas Hazman. Chanukah U'Purim, with all due respect, are lacking in Kedushas Hazman. So because of that deficiency of Kedushas Hazman, the absence of Kedushas Hazman, there is no Shechianu on the Zman. And that's what he says over here, that Ein Bircha Shechianu Al Etzem Hayom Shel Chanukah U'Purim. And that's his opening premise. And if that be the case, then there should be no Shechianu neither on Purim nor on Chanukah, if you're missing the mitzvah, whatever that mitzvah is, whether it's Ner Chanukah in the case of Chanukah, whether it's Megillah in the case of Purim. Okay. Now we get to the second principle or premise. Ulam, he says, however, b'Chanukah tiknu chazal levarech shechiyonu b'toras birchas hodah. Okay, this is very profound. He's saying the following, that Chanukah has something very unique to it, as we'll see, and he develops this in the presentation. He says Chanukah has something called Chavivus Hanes. Right now it's just accepted as a very abstract principle. It's called this beloved miracle. There's something very beloved about the miracle of Chanukah. And again, if you want a footnote on this, this is just Berzon adding a footnote here. I would say that on Chanukah we recite Hallel 8 days. We don't find that on Purim. There's no Hallel on Purim for whatever reason. Again, there are many different explanations, which is a sugya in Masechta Megillah that hopefully one day we'll get to.
Which miracle is he talking about?
That's a machlokus in and of itself, whether it's the miracle of the Nitzachon and the Melchama, the miracle of the Pach HaShemen, or maybe both combined. But that's called Chavivus HaNes. The Rambam, by the way, says that because of this concept of Chavivus HaNes, a person has to sell the shirt off his back in order to buy oil, if he's so poor, for the sake of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So there's something called Chavivus HaNes. We're going to have to see how that expresses itself. And according to this presentation, Chavivus HaNes generates a unique Chiv Hodah. Hodah, please underline it so I don't have to write it on the blackboard. You'll see it in the first word in the second line. Hodah means thanksgiving. Okay?
That's next week.
Next week, okay. Next. I was going to crack a joke, but yours is better than mine. Yeah. Very interesting. All right, never mind. Anyway, there's a lecture now in my mechutin, his name is Rabbi Flegg. He has an organization of Dayanim, and so every week they publish a piece, you know, a shiur for that week. So this week's shiur is Thanksgiving kosher? that's the question.
No, it's turkey.
Right. They mean turkey, really, but eating turkey on Thanksgiving. But in any event, so we have a special takana on Chanukah called Hodah. Now, first of all, what generates Hodah in Chanukah? Why is this a special chiyuv of Hodah? And the answer to that is Chavivus HaNes. And number two, how do we fulfill that special chiyuv Hodah? So we mentioned the Rambam, they have to sell the shirt off your back, but that's not how you fulfill the mitzvah of Hodah. That means that's how you get money for the mitzvah of Hodah. But how do you fulfill the mitzvah of Hodah? Says the Shevet HaLevi, there are two ways in which we fulfill the mitzvah of Hodah. We're going to add a third way, because that's going to be Al Nisim and Hala, but there are two primary ways in which we fulfill that mitzvah of Hodah that's generated by Chavivus HaNes. Number one is Re'iyah. This is the only mitzvah that we have where we make a bracha on Re'iyah. We just saw the Ner Chanukah. I didn't do anything. What did I do? I passed by, you have a Ner Chanukah. I saw your Ner Chanukah making a bracha. Why? Because of Chavivus HaNes. And here the Rabbanan instituted a special bracha because of Chavivus HaNes on Re'iyas HaNeros. Imagine the guy is not lighting Chanukah candles, and yet he's going to make a bracha on Re'iyas HaNeros. Where is that coming from?
Which bracha are we talking about now?
I don't know. Also very complicated. I would assume it's Shas HaNisim. That's the honest truth. No. But for that we're going to have to read the next section, which is section Dalet. On page Nun Gimel, every bracha here is very profound. There are going to be so many different sheets.
The Gemara would have to be also Shachiyanu. We said.
So wait a minute. Let's get to Shachiyanu. But let's get to I want to take Shachiyanu up as a separate category, because now the mitzvah Hodah, as a unique mitzvah in Chanukah, as generated by Chavivus HaNes, expressed itself in two different brachos. Number one is the bracha on Re'iyah, which is very unique to Chanukah. And number two, a bracha of Shachiyanu. Now, where do you see that the Meiri holds that there's a separate bracha of Shachiyanu that's generated by Chavivus HaNes, not by the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, in the lighting of Ner Chanukah, but by Chavivus HaNes? Which Meiri is he talking about, Rabosai?
The first.
Not the Meiri in Megillah, but the Meiri in Shabbos, because the Meiri in Shabbos says that if you don't have Neros, you should nevertheless recite Shachiyanu. Where's that Shachiyanu coming from? And the answer is, it's not coming from the Kedushas HaZman, because again, there is no Kedushas HaZman in Chanukah, but rather from Chavivus HaNes. That in Chavivus HaNes, the Rabbanan enacted two enactments. Number one, two enactments at what we call special brachos. But again, Hallel also has a bracha, but that bracha is part of the package deal of Hallel. But where do we have brachos which are recited because of Chavivus HaNes, and they apply to Chanukah and only to Chanukah? Says the Shevet HaLevi, that's what the Meiri has in mind. And the precedent for this Meiri was the bracha on Re'iyah. Again, Michael's asked me which bracha on Re'iyah. I don't know. For that, we'll have to take up the next section, which is a whole complicated section on Birchas HaRi'iyah. But whatever bracha it is, whether it's the Lahadlik, whether it's Shas HaNisim, whatever bracha it is, it's a separate bracha that we recite on Re'iyah. Ribbono Shel Olam, the guy didn't like Chanukah candles. How is he making a bracha without any mitzvah? Where's the mitzvah? The answer is Re'iyah. Because Re'i itself is an experience of Chavivus HaNes. What other bracha do we recite, says the Meiri in Shabbos? According to this presentation, Shechiyonu. Shechiyonu v'kimonu v'yonu l'zman. I said, what does it mean? Not Kedushas HaZman, but the Zman of Chavivus HaNes. And the Zman of Chavivus HaNes requires Shechiyonu.
So therefore, the answer to my first question must be that it's the light of the nes of the Pach Shemin rather than nes of the Chavivus.
I don't know.
Because we're talking about the Re'iyah of the candles. Why are we lighting candles? Because of the Pach Shemin.
It's not so simple, Michael. If that makes life more comfortable for you, take it. I don't want to complicate it, but the Ner Chanukah itself, this is the famous note of Yehuda, which we're not up to yet, that the Ner Chanukah itself is the culmination of the Milchama. It's very complicated. It has to do with the fact that the Milchama was really technically Al Pi Derech HaTeva. I mean, it's hard to understand that, and how do we know that God brought about the miracle of the Milchama? We only know it from the Ner. So that the miracle of the Ner was the sign, so to speak, the clincher. Again, this is very complicated. Not for us now. I can't do everything in one shot. But whatever it is, this Chavivus HaNes, which expresses itself now in a mitzvah of Re'iyah, with a bracha, a special bracha on Re'iyah, and number two, in the mitzvah of Shechiyonu, that Shechiyonu has to be recited on the Zman. What's unique about the Zman? It's invested with Chavivus HaNes. And the Chavivus HaNes makes this Zman into a separate entity which requires Shechiyonu. Oh. So Memela, now we're up to stage number three. He says the following, that although Ner Chanukah itself would require a Shechiyonu, but the Rabbanan instituted a new takana of a Shechiyonu under the category of Hodah to thank Hashem for the miracle, the Chavivus HaNes, and that bracha is obligatory even if he doesn't have Ner Chanukah, simply because this day is a day that generates a commemoration of Chavivus HaNetz. Therefore, as Larry said so well before, we could have two Shekhiyonos theoretically. We may have a Shekhiyonos on the first night if he doesn't have Ner Chanukah, and that's Chavivus HaNetz for Hodah, and that's on the Zman itself of Chanukah. And then tomorrow night, when he finally gets his Chanukah candles for the first time, he'll make a Brach of Shekhiyonos on the Chanukah candles, on the Mitzvah HaDlokah. Fine. But now let's see, how do we reconcile the two Meiris? After all, the Meiri in Masechta Megillah said that some say without a Megillah you still recite Shekhiyonu, and it's wrong. I don't accept it because there's no Kiddush ala Kos. And in order to say Shekhiyonu, you need the Kiddush ala Kos, and therefore Purim doesn't qualify for Shekhiyonu on the Zman, only on the Megillah. And then the Meiri goes on to say, if you recall, and this is the Miriam Megillah, he says, "Harei ein zed dome el Chanukah." What does he mean, "ein zed dome el Chanukah"? The Miriam himself in Shabbos is committed to make a bracha of Shekhiyonu on Chanukah. And here we get to the third premise over here. He says, "Umashe kosav ha-me'iri." This is four lines before the end of the paragraph, because I didn't read the whole paragraph. "Umashe kosav ha-me'iri shebepurim v'chanukah eino mevarach shachiyonu al ayom kamenoso she'ein chiyu broch al etzem kedusha sazman." What the Me'iri wants to point out is that there is no shachiyonu on the Zman itself, because neither in Purim nor in Chanukah is the Zman invested with kedusha. And although in Moedim, where there's a Kos Shel Kiddush and there's Kiddush Sayom, we will make a Shekhiyonu, we won't make a Shekhiyonu on the Zman of Ner of Chanukah and Purim. No, if Chanukah and Purim don't have a Zman, so why does the Miri say in Masechta Shabbos that we do recite a bracha of Shekhiyonu on Chanukah? The answer is that's not because of the Zman, but rather because of what? Of Hodah. I will take new bow with regard to Chanukah, and here's where the Miri compliments and supplements what he said in Megillah with what he writes in Masechta Shabbos. Take new bow on Chanukah, they were taking takonim yuchedes for the benefit of someone who cannot fulfill the mitzvah of hadlokas neiros. And what is that takonim? Number one, he might have the option of making a bracha on the re'iyah if he doesn't have Ner Chanukah. Yeah. Number two, he has the option of making a Shekhiyonu even without re'iyah. So Rabosai, if he makes the Shekhiyonu on Hadlaka, then that Shekhiyonu will cover him even as far as the Chavivus HaNes and the Kiyum of Hodah is concerned. If he doesn't have a Ner, but he sees someone else's Ner, then he'll recite a bracha on Re'iyah, and on top of that, he'll recite Shekhiyonu. That Shekhiyonu now links up with Re'iyah and with the Zman. But let's say he has neither A nor B. He doesn't have Ner Chanukah, and he's in the Midbar, and he doesn't have Re'iyah. So in that case, he'll make a bracha b'toras Hodah, not because of the Zman itself. The Zman itself is devoid, is divested of any Kedushas HaZman, and therefore it doesn't have a kosher kiddush, and therefore it doesn't get Shekhiyonu, but it'll recite Shekhiyonu on the Chavivus HaNes to thank Hashem for the miracle, and that's going to express itself in Shekhiyonu. Wow. Again, it's up to you guys, you're on the jury here, whether you like it or you don't like it. You know, in these phones, you know, they have this symbol, you know, with a thumb up, you know, right. So you can say like or not like. But this is a fascinating attempt on the part of the Shevet HaLevi to reconcile two Meiris that seem to be frontal, head-on collision. Now, in the next paragraph, he quotes the Netziv of Valozhin. And you may know that the Netziv of Valozhin wrote a super commentary on the She'iltos of Rav Achai Gaon. And there are many insights and even halachic rulings of the Netziv that are embodied in that commentary on the Shiltos. And here's one of them. He says the following. He says that if he doesn't make a Shekhiyonu, let me say it again. He says that despite the fact that we recite Shekhiyonu on either Hadlaka or Re'iyah, nevertheless, that Shekhiyonu is not on the mitzvah per se. Now watch what happens here. He's grabbing the rope from both ends. On the one hand, he's going to say the following. You could only recite Shekhiyonu on Chanukah
connected to.
If you have either adlaka or re'iyah, without both of them, there's no shachyanu. Here he's against the me'iri. But nevertheless, he says, don't misunderstand and come to the conclusion that the shachyanu is on the hadlaka or on the re'iyah. The brach of shachyanu is not on the hadlaka, not on this new mitzvah. It's a brach of hodah. Does that word sound familiar? In that sense, he's conceptually defining the brach of shachyanu on Chanukah exactly the way the Shevet HaLevi understood it in the Me'iri. Ella. However, we need heker. What does that mean by heker? We will not allow you to make a brach of shachyanu on the day if the day itself is not dressed up as a special day. If it looks identical to any other day of the year and it has no kedusha sayom, then there's no heker. You know, he's just reciting shachyanu, and we don't know what that shachyanu is linked up to. You know, in the case of Sukkot and Pesach and Shavuos and Yom Kippur and so forth and so on. There, if he recites Shachyanu, we know it's linked up to the day. We are totally surrounded by 24 hours of Kedushas Hazman. And therefore the bracha has a heker to it. But if the day is a weekday, like any other weekday of the year, and there's no different Kedusha that day, then therefore when you recite a Shachyanu, Stamazoy, you know, floating around in the atmosphere, you know, in the stratosphere, that shachyanu is lacking any heker to the day itself. So it's a paradox. On the one hand, the day itself requires a shachyanu, but on the other hand, we can't recite that shachyanu. We cannot implement that obligation to recite shachyanu because it's not going to have a heker, because this is a day that's a secular day and it's not vested with kedush sayom. So what did the rabbanan do? They linked up the brach of shachyanu with something that would give it a heker, that you would say that the shachyanu is on this unique day, and that gives us two opportunities, either at the time of hadlaka or at the time of re'iyah if you don't have hadlaka. So basically, your shachyanu at the time of hadlaka has nothing to do with the mitzvah hadlaka. We're using the mitzvah hadlaka as an agent in order to achieve our goal of nikeres, of upgrading the shachyanu and investing it with an element of heker.
So Rav Rosner takes this Rahodah one stage further. You see, he stretches it out even further.
Right, because he's trying to justify the Me'iri. And the Me'iri, at least in Shabbos, says explicitly that on Hanukkah, if you don't have any Adlaka or any Re'iyah, you're going to still make the Shechiyotah. That's what the Me'iri says. He goes on record. So the Shevet HaLevi will say that there's a special takon of Hodah, and in the context of that Hodah, you fulfill that mitzvah of Hodah by reciting Shechiyotah, even in the absence of Re'iyah and Adlaka. Comes along the Netziv, he's not operating with the Me'iri, he's totally unaware of the Me'iri. And he came to the same conclusion, conceptually, in abstract terms, that the day itself, insofar as it has a Chiyuv Hodah, will generate a Chiyuv of Shechiyotah. But on the other hand, he's committed to the position that if, in the absence of both Adlaka and Re'iyah, you just want to recite Shechiyotah to fulfill that Chiyuv Hodah, in Yiddish we say Glat Nevelta, right? Meaning floating in midair, that's not the way the Chachamim envision implementing Shechiyonah. Shechiyonah has to be connected to something. So in a regel, where you're totally, you know, surrounded by the aura of Kiddush Sayyam, then just get up and make the Shechiyonah. I don't need any mitzvah whatsoever. And on Leil Yom Kippur, that's exactly what we're going to do. But in the case of Hanukkah, there's no such thing as a Shechiyonah going to the Netziv that floats in the atmosphere. It's got to be grounded and anchored in some sort of heker of the day, because the day is devoid of Kiddush Sayom. And what anchors the Shechiyonu to the day and connects it to the day, it's the either Adlaka or the Re'iyah. So the nafkamina between the Me'iri on the one hand and the Tzim on the other is what's going to be if I don't have neither Adlaka or Re'iyah. The Me'iri will say, make the bracha Shechiyonu in any event, because that's your Kiyum Haldah. And the Netziv would say, in such a case, you cannot make the bracha.
So the Netziv would also, by Purim also, you would have to do only with the Megillah. You'd have to,
right? Because
it's a Hodah. Because it's a Hodah. The Yom is a Hodah.
No.
Right. Assuming he has the Chiyuv Hodah in Purim, I don't know if he does.
There is no Hodah in Purim.
Well, that we don't know. You know, the Netziv, I don't think he mentions anything about Purim, does he?
No.
Let's see it again.
No, I thought we said the whole difference between Chanukah and Purim is Purim does not have Hodah.
Well, that's again in the Me'iri's frame of reference.
Yes.
So the Netziv is, you know, it's not fair to superimpose that on the Netziv. He's not aware of the Me'iri. He never saw the Me'iri.
Yeah,
so it could be that he holds that there's a Chiyuv Hodah even on Purim. I don't know. And then Asher is right that you can only recite Shechiyonah on Purim at the moment that you're reading the Megillah.
No, because you say Ahanisim and you say the Bracha Shasanisim. You say Ahanisim in the davening, you say the Bracha Shasanisim.
Right. Why isn't the Al-Anisim enough to create this heker? Well, I guess because you can't be mafsik in the middle of tefillah, I don't know. But in theory, if you could be mafsik in the middle of tefillah, maybe that would be a good place to the tzitz to plug in the shekhiyah. Because you're already saying Al-Anisim, Al-Niflos, Al-Shua. Okay, there, Rabos, I wish you all a great day.
Yeah.
And I applaud you because you were able to hang in there with me. This for me is literally me'ein Olam Haba. You know, if you ask me what Olam Haba is going to look like, it's learning this piece that we learned today. Nothing can be more pleasurable for me than learning this piece.